Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Take a deep breath. That's it. Now, imagine yourself on a warm night in Venice. The stars are shining, and a gentle breeze is...
Strumpet! Winch thou for it to thy face!
Banish me, my lord, but kill me!
No, strumpet!
Kill me tomorrow, let me live tonight!
Well, now that spoiled the mood. Trust Othello to murder his wife when I was really just starting to feel tranquil. Well, as I am now agitated and up, let us get down to Uncle Will's tale of trust undone by a handkerchief, unstitched by a villain's vile whisper, a tale of a hero who could conquer armies but not the green-eyed monster, weaving the tapestry of suspicion into his thoughts. It was in Uncle Will's 1604 story of the Moor of Venice, where we find sandwiched between the turmoil of Hamlet and the tumult of King Lear, the first use of Tranquil, the play so far. Iago, bitter over a missed promotion, manipulates Roderigo to stir trouble for Othello, who's secretly wed Desdemona and sent to Cyprus. In Cyprus, Iago gets Cassio drunk, orchestrates his downfall, and urges him to seek Desdemona's help in ingratiating himself back into Othello's good graces, setting the stage for suspicion. Desdemona pleads Cassio's case to her husband, while Iago slyly fans Othello's jealousy, hinting at an affair between Cassio and Desdemona. In Act 3, Scene 3, Desdemona's conversation with Cassio is interrupted by Othello's arrival, prompting Cassio to depart in haste. After she exits, Iago suggests Cassio's behavior is suspicious and warns Othello not to let jealousy consume him, even though he says Cassio spoke of Desdemona in his sleep and used the handkerchief Othello gave her. Othello is now anything but tranquil.
What sense had I of her stolen hours of lust? I saw it not, thought it not, it harmed not me. I slept the next night well, fed well, was free and merry. I found not Cassio's kisses on her lips. He that is robbed, not wanting what he stole, let him not know it, and he's not robbed at all.
I'm sorry to hear this.
I had been happy if the general camp, poniards and all, had tasted her sweet body, so I had nothing known. Oh, now forever farewell the tranquil mind.
Good old Geoffrey Chaucer, of Canterbury Tales fame, would use the original version of the noun tranquility, as would Uncle Will employ the ility iteration in his first part of his Henry IV saga. His tumultuous tale of a princely pub crawl, brash battlefield bravado, where England was precariously perched on the precipice of rebellion and ruination, not really calming at all. Now the root of tranquil, soothingly, comes from the Latin, trans, meaning beyond, and quies, meaning rest or calm. And if you listen closely enough to that last part, you can just hear it taking gentle root in the librarian's favorite phrase.
Shh! Quiet, please. I'm trying to read here.
No doubt, a book about lunar landscapes. Specifically, Mare Tranquillitates, I should imagine. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell, until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.